Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing with Canto 10, Chapter 27, and we'll cover two verses this morning. The prayers or the words spoken by Surabhi. And we'll cover 20 and 21, is that right? Yes? Okay. So these prayers, according to our acharyas, it's we, it's she's along with, I guess, a chorus or speaking on behalf of the other cows that are there. The other cows that are there are at least minimally cows from Braja. She, Surabhi from the heavenly realm, and the cows from Braja are addressing Krishna after Indra addressed Krishna, and Krishna replied, "You are our," that's plural, "our worshipable deity. Therefore, O Lord of the universe," I don't know if that's going to interfere with the mood of the cows of Braj if they regard Krishna as the Lord of the universe. "For the benefit of the cows, the brahmanas, the demigods, and all other saintly persons, please become our Indra. Purport, the Supreme Lord is self-sufficient. He can do everything himself. The Lord appointed one of his innumerable children to the position of Indra, the Lord of the cosmic heaven. But Indra abused his authority. And now Surabhi requests Lord Krishna, the absolute truth, to directly become her Lord, her Indra. We should carefully perform our duties without false pride, semicolon. Thus, we will not become obsolete and embarrassed, as in the present case of King Indra, who actually attacked Lord Krishna and his Vrindavan devotees." And Vishwanath commentary, "You are the devata who gives supreme happiness. Therefore, you are our Indra. As you are the Lord of the universe, though you presently appear in a cowherd family, you are qualified as Indra because you stopped the sacrifice to Indra and defeated him." Jiva Goswami, the special position is described. Very short sentence. The special position is described. "You are our supreme deity." And he then refers to Gopal Tapani Upanishad. Translation is, "He is without birth and death, is permanent and cannot be cut. He is situated in the sun, in the cows, in all the Vedas, and protects the cowherds. He is glorified in all the Vedas and, entering into all beings, supports all beings." So this is the Upanishadic, you know, saha. It's just a pronoun indicating the absolute truth is all these things. "Therefore become our Indra, O master of the universe. Though you are the master of the universe, you are also our master. in being king of the cows, you also give auspiciousness to the brahmanas and devatas. And then he quotes Go Sukta. I'm not sure where that's from, but prayer is glorifying cows. Quote, sacrifice takes place because of the cows. The devatas appear because of cows. The Vedas, with their six angas, appear because of the cows. And Sanatana Goswami writes, please fulfill our desire. You are he who is the supreme happiness for us cows. You are supreme for us. Become our Indra. That is possible for you because you are the Lord of the universe. You are our Indra because you are the protector of the universe, having given protection from the rain. Therefore, always be prosperous. Or they shall be prosperous, but their cows, their mothers are giving benedictions to the Lord of the universe. And text 21. Surabhi continues, as ordered by Lord Brahma, we shall perform your bathing ceremony to coronate you as Indra. O soul of the universe, you descend to this world to relieve the burden of the earth. Purport. Surabhi makes it quite clear in this verse that she has had enough of the leadership of the imperfect demigods like Purandara Indra. And now she is determined to directly serve the Supreme Lord. Since Brahma has ordered her, her attempt to coronate Lord Krishna as her personal Lord is authorized by higher authority. Moreover, Lord Krishna himself comes down to the earth to relieve the burden of self-destructive mundane administration, and thus it is perfectly consistent with the Lord's own purpose that he become the Lord of Surabhi. Since the Lord rules millions of universes, he certainly can take care of Mother Surabhi. Paragraph. In fact, Surabhi wanted to bathe the Lord for her own purification, and she earnestly makes her proposal to Vishvatma, the soul of the universe, Sri Krishna. Because he could say no. But he's not going to say no. Vishwanath writes, Surabhi's saying, as you are Indra, we will install you in the role of Indra with Abhishek, Krishna. By whose order do you want to do this? Is it some independent desire? Surabhi, it has been ordered by Brahma. When Indra was afflicted with fear and went to Brahma and explained everything, Brahma, remembering his previous offense, Brahma's previous offense, fearfully thinking, gave me this order. So chronologically, this is chapter 27, and this other exchange was 13, 14. So Krishna was younger, Brahma made his offense before Indra made his. So Brahma, remembering his previous offense, fearfully thinking, gave me this order. Oh, Surabhi, you are very dear to the Lord, who protects your offspring. Therefore, you should go to Krishna, the ocean of mercy, and get Indra forgiven for his offense and perform Abhishek, installing him as Indra for the cows. So there's the instruction. Paragraph. What is the benefit of this Abhishek for becoming Indra or king of the cows to you, whose hard to attain feet are served by Shiva and Brahma, and who is Indra or king of billions of universes? It is an action only for the purpose of elevating us, That's the performers of Abhishek. You appear to relieve the burden of the earth, though you are the soul of the universe and therefore invisible. If you did not appear, how could we get good fortune? They're so good at churning the topic. It's really nice. Jiva Goswami. With devotion, she informs him confidently of the method of making him king of the cows. You are by your nature our Indra, but we will bathe you to preach this to the people of the world. But Brahma, who gave the post to Indra, will hold contempt. No, Brahma has given the order. But even so, it requires your consent. Question, then why has Brahma not come? Answer, we are qualified for this. I am your intimate associate since I am the mother of your cow families. Whereas Brahma is excluded from this intimacy since he deals only with the material world. She speaks in the plural to show her great respect, or out of affection she speaks in the plural to include Indra, who came with her, and her other associates. Doesn't specify who those who came with her. Probably some other cows. Brahma did not come when Indra begged forgiveness for his great offense, since he feared committing another offense, since he'd already committed one offense. Question, how can a cowherd become Indra? Answer, you have descended from the spiritual world. But how can I, the son of Nanda, be your lord? Both you and Brahma are without proper discrimination. Reply, do not always cheat us. You reside eternally in the highest Goloka as our eternal lord, and have now appeared on earth with Nanda and others of your associates. You do not take birth like a human. Krishna, why should I relieve the earth of its burden? Answer, you are the soul of the universe. The maintenance of the universe depends on you. You should agree to this. Since you appear on earth to give happiness, this happiness will appear for everyone when you are sprinkled with water, like a root sprinkled with water. And then Sanatana Goswami makes reference to a fourth canto verse. You know the verse. Just as the branches and twigs are satisfied by watering the root, and just as the senses are satisfied by nourishing the life air, by worshipping the Supreme Lord, all are worshipped. All. Funny translation. All worship is accomplished. And further commentary, Vishwanath. Surabhi said, as you are our Indra, we will install you in the role of Indra with an Abhishek. Krishna, by whose order do you want to do this? Is this some independent desire? Surabhi, it has been ordered by Brahma. When Indra was afflicted with fear, he went to Brahma to explain everything about your Govardhan Leela. Brahma felt somewhat fearful upon remembering his previous offense to you, so he gave me this order. Oh, Surabhi, you are very dear to the Lord, the protector of your relatives, that the other cows. Therefore, you should go to Krishna, the ocean of mercy, get Indra forgiven for his offense, perform Abhishek, and install Krishna as the king, or Indra of the cows. You may ask, what is the benefit of an Abhishek to you? The Indra, a king of billions of universes. How is he benefited, Krishna, by the Abhishek? We want to do this for our own purification. Although you are the invisible soul of the universe, you appear to relieve the burden of the earth. If you did not appear, how would we ever become fortunate? So how are we to become fortunate? By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you get that little USB stick that's on my desk upstairs? It's right in the middle of the desk, I think. I've been spending some time, it's not complete yet, finding some, you know, references where it is specifically said that Srimad Bhagavatam and is Krishna. The form of Krishna is the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. They're not, absolutely non-different. So I'll share with you what I have so far. I'm not finished with this. Yeah. Krishnarchana came up with this one. This is from Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 16. Same as just Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the talks between Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Sanatana Goswami is being taught the Atmarama verse, because Sanatana Goswami heard that Lord Chaitanya explained the Atmarama verse to who? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma, you know who is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? Not sure? The chief priest of the king. And Lord Chaitanya, he's the one when Lord Chaitanya went into the Jagannath temple and fainted in ecstasy. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came in and said, no, don't throw him out of the temple. Carefully take him to my home. That's Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So he was like this super duper scholar, but an impersonalist. And Lord Chaitanya helped him become a devotee by explaining Vedanta Sutra and the Atmarama verse. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could understand, you're not just a learned sannyasi. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What you have explained is... And then Lord Chaitanya showed his six-armed form and smiled. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So he became a devotee. And Sanatana Goswami had heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had explained the Atmarama verse in 64 different ways to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sanatana Goswami requested, can you explain it to me? They didn't make a recording of it. Could I hear it from you directly? So Lord Chaitanya explains it. And then at the end, Sanatana Goswami goes, wow. And it is not possible for others to understand the confidential meanings of Srimad Bhagavatam without your mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reply, do not try to praise me in that way. Just understand the real nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the sound representation of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, highlighted, Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. Krishna is unlimited, and similarly each word and letter of Srimad Bhagavatam has unlimited meanings. One can understand these meanings through the association of devotees. Don't, then, say that Bhagavatam is simply a collection of answers and questions, or answers to questions. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stating to Sanatana Goswami from Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, Srimad bhagavatakyoyam pratyaksha krishna eva hi. Without a doubt, Srimad Bhagavatam is directly Lord Krishna, Padma Purana. Another reference from Padma Purana. This is where it describes that 12 cantos are different parts of the bodies of the Lord, of the body of the Lord, and then concludes, I bow down to that Lord, the ocean of mercy, whose color is like that of a tamal tree, Padma Purana, who appears in this world for the welfare of all. I worship him as the bridge for crossing the unfathomable ocean of material existence. Srimad Bhagavatam has appeared as his very self. And one more reference from Skanda Purana. Srimad Bhagavatam, this is Vishnu Kanda, Srimad Bhagavatam and the personality of Godhead are always of the same nature, possessed of eternal existence, full knowledge, and complete bliss. And it doesn't say form, but form is in the Padma Purana. The different cantos are the form of the Lord. So, this has to do, bringing this up at this point has to do with how are we to become so fortunate? Paraphrased in the commentary of Vishwanath, although you are the invisible soul of the universe, you appear to relieve the burden of the earth. If you did not appear, how would we ever become fortunate? So what about us? How are we to become fortunate without the appearance of the Lord? So it's in so many ways stated again and again in this 10th canto narration, and it applies to other forms of the Lord that appear in this world, is to make people fortunate. And there's different categories of people who are made fortunate, just to repeat what the previous commentary has to say. For the exalted devotees, it enlivens them. For those who are, have no, but have forgotten, it reminds them. For conditioned souls who are sinful, it relieves them of their sins and restores their original Krishna consciousness. And for the demons, Krishna kills them. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, he doesn't kill the demons. He kills the demoniac mentality. And so through the chanting of the holy name and Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's, you know, Krishna, Krishna, double barrel. And now I'm going to read one more little section. That's the chanting of the holy name. The chanting of the holy name is the prime benediction for humanity at large in this age of Kali. And the chanting of the holy name is incomplete without hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or Hari Katha. So this is now a passage taken from Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. This is somebody who, doesn't say who, is the associate, disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta. And he's glorifying Bhaktisiddhanta's message and his way that he delivered his message. So here's taken directly from Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. Although everything Srila Saraswati Thakur did was to promote the pure kirtan of the holy names, he was known mainly for his speaking, not singing. He claimed kirtan as his only activity, yet clearly his kirtan is primarily Hari Katha. He often explained, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's favorite dictum Kirtaniya Sadahari, generally understood to promote unceasing chanting of the holy names as an injunction for the non-stop glorification of the Lord by Harikatha. Thus, Harikatha was Srila Saraswati Thakur's life, issuing forth from his lotus mouth as naturally as breathing. I have had the opportunity to hear and discuss these topics since the beginning of my life. Paragraph. I have been discussing these points for 50 years now, in great detail, and at every moment throughout the 24 hours, when awake and even when slumbering. While continuously discussing these topics, eventually my body will wear out and fall down. I will glorify until the last moment of my life all that I've learned from my guru, my gurus. Why only one mouth? Let me have unlimited mouths and an unlimited lifespan to unlimitedly glorify the unlimited qualities of Krishna's devotees. And then comes this section. The kirtan culture widespread in Bengal had sprung from Lord Chaitanya's propagating Harir Nama Eva Kevalam, misunderstanding of which has led to underemphasis of the importance of Shravana, hearing Harikatha. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur revealed that Harikatha is the Swarup Shakti of Harinam. Just as Krishna is properly worshipped not alone, but with his Swarup Shakti, Sri Radha, recitation of Harinam is incomplete and improper unless accompanied by hearing Harikatha. Bhaktisiddhanta stated that wherever Harikatha is spoken is a tirtha, and that Harikatha is the guardian of genuine sadhus in a world where everything that surrounds one is ready to become an enemy and attack the unprotected. Moreover, he stressed that taste for and faith in Harikatha is the very root of Hariseva, and would cite Harikatha hi kevalam paramam shreyaha. Harikatha alone is the supremely beneficial activity. And here's a really esoteric one for those of you that like things that are beyond your comprehension. This is Uddhava speaking in Garga Samhita about Srimati Radharani. Uddhava says, when Sri Krishna, who holds the Sharanga bow, becomes the sage Vyas and writes the Vedanta Sutra, you, Radharani, become his commentary on the Vedas, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, the Swarup Shakti. So Bhaktisiddhanta isn't pulling that out of the air. It's scripturally based. It's the Swarup Shakti of Krishna. Okay, so let's see if there's some discussion. Pretty interesting, huh? Surabhi's doing her Abhishek. Krishna, she's asking permission because she's already been instructed by Brahma to do this. And her intention is to formally establish that which is already there. He is the Lord, or Indra, for all the cows. Comments, questions?
There's a question.
Okay.
From online.
Okay.
It's from Disha Ramji from Chicago area.
Okay.
Why is it that in Kali Yuga, the cows are targeted
Are what? Outdated?
The cows are targeted.
Targeted, okay.
By us for their milk.
I don't understand what he means by targeted, because it's a natural relationship between cows and humans, and cows, the natural relationship is the cows are to be protected by humans, and humans receive nourishment in many ways from the milk products from the cow. So they're not targeted. The targeted, if he means by the question, why are they abused? It's because people are demoniac. They don't understand anything about anything that's elevated and cultured and, you know, being kind to nature. Why do they exploit nature the way that they do? You know, they're animals. They're worse than animals. So, that's why. No culture. No higher consciousness. No care for higher consciousness.
Guru Maharaj, I'm still thinking about it. Kindly forgive me if the question... Thinking about it, processing. Kindly forgive me if it's not clear. About this greed and pride, I'm thinking about that. You mentioned from Srila Prabhupada's childhood, this old couple on the train station platform.
Yes.
How they're protective. So I find that kind of attachment for whatever little things here and there Krishna has blessed me. And at times, I justify that to myself that I'm attached and I want to be careful with spending money or whatever things, that this is Krishna's property, so I have to be careful.
That's okay.
But there is an inherent attachment to that.
Okay, so you're in the process of going... You know, dovetail it's called. Or mixed it's called. But, you know, it's a propensity. And so that propensity is being by this very nice description. In Canto 3, Chapter 29, forget the text number, 10 or something like that, describing bhakti performed in the mode of goodness. And Prabhupada's purport, so it explains, Kapila says, one who offers the fruits of one's work to Krishna with the intention that this will purify me from attachment to fruitive activity, that's devotional service in the mode of goodness. And in the purport, Prabhupada explains, it's still selfish. But if one goes on performing devotional service in that manner, one will go beyond selfishness. I mean, the potential is to go beyond selfishness. It's purifying. Devotional service in the mode of goodness is more purifying than in passion or in ignorance. So this is my position, this acceptance and progress. And so I continue with faith that this will release me. Do I make efforts? Of course I make efforts. It's not like I'm complacent and I just do and everything's, I'm just going to, like a baby, I'm just going to get carried. We make effort. We turn to Krishna and say, please help me go beyond this selfishness. But that doesn't mean you stop being frugal. It just becomes for Krishna, that's all. What do you think? It's all right?
I have another question as follow-up to Shatrubha Mataji's question yesterday morning regarding this. We have been given some opulences and some strengths when we are, even when we are engaging in the devotional service, we have been in that position. Sometimes we may get some recognition or some praise, and it can lead us to
yes.
the other side.
It's one of the four anartas, or the roots of anarta is being the enjoyer of some praise or some nicely performed devotional service. The fruits of nicely performed devotional service and trying to be the enjoyer. It's a source of anarta within the heart. So now.
So when we are not qualified enough to understand our position or being succumbed to the prideful nature, is it recommended for us to not do those kind of external services?
No.
My question is, I'm kind of an extrovert and external person. It's more in terms of like, you know, being in the front. So is it recommended that I try to step back and do more internal services at that time?
Well, not one versus the other. You follow? Make sure that sometime that there's this internal cultivation, and make sure that there's something that's according to your nature. Now, you may at a certain point you may want to pause and say, hey, I've noticed this tendency within myself, and it's maybe to help me go more internal, it may be a good idea to step back a bit. But I do have my nature, and I do like to be, you know, externally engaged, and it's also purifying to be externally engaged, but I want to be more, so you monitor it. But just like stopping, that's not purifying. You have your, just like Krishna says to Arjuna, you have your nature. Act according to your nature, because you're going to act according to your nature. Okay?
Guru Maharaj, this is from Sweety Vyas Mataji. Surabhi's prayers are beautiful. She glorifies Lord Krishna beautifully. While offering our personal prayers, sometimes we do not know whether we are praying properly or asking for right things. How should we pray? And the second question is...
Before you go to the second question, even if you're not offering prayers in the proper way, offer prayers anyway. Become familiar with certain prayers that really inspire you and recite those standard prayers. Not this one only or that one only. You do both. And it will guide your personal prayers. That is to say, personal prayers go back again. It's personal. Whether it can be from the head or from the heart, or combination, it's personal, it's meaningful to you. And standard prayers may be more mechanical or less personal. But one needs to learn how to take standard prayers and enter into the mood of those standard prayers. That's something recommended specifically. Enter into the mood of standard prayers. Find your favorite standard prayers and recite them on a regular basis. And as you do so, strive to enter into the mood of the prayer. And then also personal prayers, because that's something that's come, it's you, it's very personal. And monitor Is it coming from, you know, what place is it coming from? Is it coming from a place of selfishness, like this other question? Is it coming from my head? Is it coming from my heart? Is it really, am I really thinking I want my Krishna connection to be stronger, or am I thinking I want more stuff, or I want less grief? Or what is it? Where is this personal prayer coming from? And because I know where I want to go, and I want to go to where it's appealing to Krishna for his service. Trent is pure condition of serving Krishna. That's where I want to go. So, both. Next question.
Can you clarify the point that mentioned that Vedas appeared because of cows? Is there a story behind it?
No, I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea. Just reading.
Radha Kunjibihari Prabhu's question. This is the first time I heard of the six-armed form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can you please speak a little more on this form?
Sure. You read Chaitanya Charitamrita and you'll find out more, or Chaitanya Bhagavat and you'll find out more. And it's six arms. Two, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu holding danda and kamandalu, Ram holding bow and arrow, and Krishna holding flute. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is both Rama and Krishna. So he showed a six-armed form all at once. That's Sadbhuj.
This is Kasturi Manjari Mataji. The question is not related to this session, but from Lord Brahma's prayers section.
Okay.
Putana got the position of Dhatri even though she acted a hypocrite. Did Putana perform any devotional service in previous lifetimes?
I'm trying to remember what Garga Samhita says about who Putana was in her previous lifetime. And I can't remember. Do you remember? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Who she was before she was Bali Maharaja's sister, there's no scriptural reference that I'm aware of, but when Bali Maharaj was bound by Vamana, she, Bali Maharaj's sister, was simultaneously very attracted to the beauty of this little boy. And she was angry at this little boy. He surrendered everything and you tied him up like a criminal. So the previous service was just appreciating, like in a motherly mood, appreciating this little dwarf Brahmin. So that was some previous service.
This is from Visalaksha Prabhu. King Indra approached Lord Sri Krishna out of fear and Mother Surabhi out of love and devotion. In our case, how to get rid of fear while serving Guru and Krishna?
Well, fear, very simple. Fear arises from a bodily conception. So if one can become free from bodily conception, one can become free from fear. And the way to become free from bodily conception is in that same verse. That's by hearing topics in relation to Krishna coming from purified souls. That's how to become free from the bodily conception. It's not like instant, but that's the method. It's the cleansing. It's cleansing to chant, and it's cleansing to hear. And as that, the goal of that hearing and chanting, of course, ultimately is to realize Krishna, but it's also to cleanse the misconceptions. That's how.
This is from Gaurasundar Prabhu. Harinam is incomplete without Harikatha. Sikshashtakam doesn't talk about this. Rather, it says Harinam is complete. How do we understand?
Because it's implicit. When one says, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says Harinam, it's implicit. It's implied. Harinam means Radha Krishna, not just Krishna. That's the logic. And a nice example of that logic is given by Jiva Goswami when he's explaining the Atmarama verse, not the Atmarama verse, the verses of Vyasadeva's realization, where Vyasadeva, according to the instruction of Narada, he was seated in trance, and he said, he sakshat purusham purnam. He saw the Supreme Lord in his fullness. So it doesn't say he saw Radha, but he says he saw the Supreme Lord in fullness. So fullness means, he gives the example, when you say, I saw the full moon, you don't say, oh, and by the way, I also saw the effulgence around the moon. You just say, I saw the full moon. So with that same logic, to say Harir Nama, it's understood. Krishna is not alone. Now, it's only stated the name, but it's implied for those who have understanding of Krishna is never alone. There's Radha. And that's the Harikatha.
This is Virajita Mataji. Thank you so much for the class. Related to the previous question about the cows, if so much abuse of cows is prevalent and Kali Yuga will only worsen in future years in demonic behaviors, what must a devotee do to protect cows?
Well, I know in Australia, it's one of their, one of the things that the devotee community boasts about is how cow slaughter has diminished enormously in Australia. Because Australia is just like land. Not with big cities and stuff. So that's like, there's lots of cows. And it used to be major, like industry and addiction. Eating beef, eating the flesh of cows. But it's greatly reduced, and they attribute it to their propagating prasadam distribution and speaking on that point and addressing the public, and so it's moved the fulcrum in the direction of less. Although it's Kali Yuga, and Kali Yuga is progressing. So that's one thing we can do, is propagate Krishna consciousness, to change the consciousness behind that violent activity, to increase prasadam distribution. It's one of the things that they have done in Australia, like big part of their program is restaurants and prasadam distribution. Big part of their program. So when people find something satisfying, they give up the other because it's very satisfying. So it's the combination of message and the opportunity to take prasadam, both of which are purifying. And the third is to establish factual cow protection centers, or support cow protection if one can't do it locally. But support, cow protection. So those are three.
This is Neelima Mataji. You were mentioning that we don't let go of previous hurt as we don't want to. We want to hold on to it. I feel I take pleasure from holding on to it. How to develop letting go attitude?
Well, are you enjoying holding on to it? And we all want to be happy, so become happy instead of holding on to it. You know, if you're banging your head against the wall and it hurts, pretty simple, just stop banging your head against the wall and it won't hurt. And associate with those that understand there's another happiness besides banging your head against the wall. By good association, you can become free from lower modes of nature and lower tendencies.
Neeraj Prabhu, it's a similar question. How is chanting incomplete without Bhagavatam?
Okay, we did it.
And this is Chandramukhi Mataji. For follow-up of Sweetie Mataji's question about prayers. For internal prayers, it may not matter from where they come from, mind, heart, or something. However, when we act in matters where it comes from, however, when we act, it matters where it comes from. Is this understanding correct?
No.
Can you speak?
We have a mind, and we can't just like pretend we don't have one. And the mind is contaminated because we've been involved in the modes of nature and dark and dirty place for a long time. So the mind is going to be a factor in prayers. It does matter. And so we want to align heart and mind and our activities, our senses. So it matters both in prayer as well as in activity.
Premataringini Mataji had sent about Putana's past life.
Ah.
Should I read?
Okay. Yeah, read.
Answer. Brahma Vaivata Purana. In her past life, Putana was Ratnamala, the younger sister, and according to Garga Samhita, daughter of Bali Maharaj.
Yeah.
At the time when Bali was visited by Lord Vamanadev, she also witnessed his arrival.
Yeah.
As soon as Ratnamala had set her eye on the Lord, she desired that he might become her son, wishing to suckle him out of maternal affection.
Yeah.
The Supreme Lord, feeling obliged to her father, his pure devotee, that is Bali Maharaj, and understanding her heart, addressed Ratnamala, promising that whatever desire she was cherishing at that moment would be fulfilled. However, when Ratnamala saw how Lord Vamanadev tricked her father and tied him up like a vagabond, she became angry and bitter. Looking at the Lord, she thought maliciously, "If you become my son, then not only I will feed you, I will kill you." According to the original benediction that Lord Vamanadev had offered, Ratnamala would have the opportunity to suckle him as her child. However, because her sentiments had now swung so violently to the opposite extreme, by exercise of his unlimited intelligence, Lord Vamanadev ingeniously supplied the solution by smoothly incorporating the suitable reactions to both diverse desires in a single event.
Krishna is clever. That's one of his qualities. Go ahead.
There's another reference again.
Okay.
From Garga Samhita.
Okay.
From Garga Samhita, the above was from Brahma Vaivata Purana. from Garga Samhita. Seeing the form of Lord Vamana in Bali Maharaja's Yagya, Bali's daughter Ratnamala felt the Lord, a mother's love for her son. She thought, if I had a son like him, then I would give that gloriously smiling son the milk from my breast to drink. In that way, my heart would become happy. And Krishna, Vamanadev, may your desire become be fulfilled. In this way, the personality of Godhead Lord Vamana gave a blessing in his heart to the daughter of his great devotee, Bali Maharaj.
Nice. Ask her. I'll say it. Can you forward those? Maybe she already did it. Forward those to me for my records, those references. More? We're going to end after this.
Amol Prabhu's question. Is Krishna partial towards cows over other animals?
Yes.
How do we understand this in the light of neutrality?
Because they love him. And they're in the mode of goodness. And so he reciprocates with them and their love for him. And they actually have love for him. And he reciprocates. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.